Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ballroom of the Assembly Rooms. Please welcome a man. It's 5 days in and he's already knackered. It's Richard Herring. Oh, lovely. Hello, everyone. How lovely to see you. Oh, I'm nearly halfway through my run, and I honestly feel like it's the last week already. I'm dead on my feet. It's ridiculous. It's the kids. I've got two young kids. I haven't slept. It's fantastic. Not your problem. Anyway, welcome. Welcome. It's very nice to see you. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lewis Sovereign's Tantalise podcast. Yeah, I was at the Museum of Scotland yesterday. It was absolutely fantastic. And I was talking to the Lewis Chessmen, and they call it Rehullistopus. They speak to me. I love the Lewis Chessmen. It's fun. The Museum of Scotland is a fantastic museum. Well done, Edinburgh. And it's free. That is extremely good. And I like to go and pop in and say hello to the Lewis Chessmen, who are there's a question I ask about if all the museums and art galleries in the world got together and said you can have one thing, what do you want? I think I'd have one of the good ones, the king or the queen, and take one of those home. But they haven't so far. I've been in Edinburgh over the last 35 years, 26 fringes, 43 shows, no award nominations. Can I have a fucking Lewis Chessman? I'll take one of the castles. It's all right, I'll take that. That's what it is. And I'm sure I'll talk about this with my guests, but James Whale has said the fringe has changed. There's no right-wing comedians anymore. It's all gone. It's all gone left-wing, ain't it, the Edinburgh Fringe? It's gone incredibly left. Remember the old days? I think Hitler used to do it, didn't he? He came along, he used to do it. Oswald Mosley was on. You know, it's an open festival. Anybody can come and do stuff. The reason there are no right-wing comedians is because we all lose loads of money here, and right-wing people don't... I have to go and pay money to be in the festival? No. You don't understand how the economy works, and also because most right-wing comedians are shit. And I said most there. There's a couple that are all right. Mussolini was funny, wasn't he? He had a funny... Did that funny... pulled funny faces. Anyway, let's crack on because we have a fantastic guest who I'm very much looking forward to seeing and who I'm delighted to have here for so many reasons. She's probably best known for her appearance on the 100 Greatest Christmas Moments 2004. That's. But what's she done since that? We all remember her on that, don't we? With the 100 Greatest. I mean, that must be all the Christmas moments, right? 100. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Janie Godley. Janie Godley.
Come in. Yeah, sit there, please. And
I don't want you sitting that. I don't want to rub that wire up between my fanny. That would be weird. Make everybody uncomfortable immediately.
There we go. That's for you. That's your water. You can keep the mug. That's
oh, yours. Thank you so much. The last mug I got was in 1980.
Was it?
Yeah, it's my wedding. Joking. Just sweet jokes.
You're looking fantastic, Janie.
Thank you.
I'm very glad to say. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good for somebody who's got a 70 to 90% chance of getting ovarian cancer again. So that is what it is. And if there's any women out there, I always like to say ovarian cancer is a sneaky cancer. I was on tour when I got diagnosed because I didn't pay attention. If you're feeling really bloated, which is hard because women are always like, oh, fucking bloated. But if you're feeling really bloated and you're peeing a lot and you don't really, every time you eat, you feel full, go get checked.
Yeah.
That's it.
And for guys, balls. You know, we've got all the...
we've got like, all the fucking bits
since,
covered.
Since we last met, we've both lost a little bit of ourselves.
Yeah, you've lost your ball and I've had all my giblets removed.
Yeah. Do you think there's someone out there trying to make a sort of Frankenstein comedian out of us? There's been nothing wrong with this.
What's weird is when they took everything away, because it's, you know, like, everything's away. It's all away. When they took everything away, I was, like, every comedian in the world, I'd be like, that's weird. So and my husband was with me and I met the cancer surgeon and I said to her, so everything's been taken away? She went, yes. I went, so what's at the top of my vagina? Is there just, can my husband go and blow my lungs? What's up the top? I need to know what's up the top there. Can my husband just look up and see my kidney? And she's like, no, no, we tied it and it's now a stump. I went, great, I've now got a stumpy fanny. Brilliant. But I needed to know, what was up?
It's a good question.
It's a good question. Can things fall out of it? Do you know what I mean? Can my husband just have a peep up there and blow me up like a fucking Lilo? So I don't think she'd ever been asked that question before.
Right.
She was like, no, we tie it up and we make what's called a stump. I was like, fabulous. Yeah. I've always wanted a stump, and it does rhyme with the word. So...
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that, I knew... I can't remember which one of us got cancer first. I think, was it?
Probably be you. Yeah,
probably me. And then you, then you came through. Herring's had it.
Yeah.
I mean, as a comedian, I mean, I think mine was the cancer of the funniest possible place and also the safest possible place to get cancer. So it was, although I was scared and...
It's terrifying.
It's not nice to have cancer.
No,
it's both of us are aware that it can return. It wasn't... there was a part of me thinking there's going to be some comedy in this.
Oh, yeah, I had hundreds of comedy through it. hundreds of things happened all the way through it. I mean, as soon as I went... I get diagnosed in one day. So people say, oh, the NHS Scotland saved my life. I went to the doctor and she went, oh, I can feel something. Sent me to the hospital. They stuck a Star Wars wand right up my fanny. Within my husband was sitting there going, oh, okay, I wasn't quite prepared for this. And I was like, if you find a sandal and it's blue, that's the other one to match the one I've lost. And immediately they found a tumour on my ovary. And then, you know, they're just... been so much happened that it's, I think that the downside is like when you get cancer, you throw a hand grenade right into your family. Ashley still hasn't quite recovered.
Yeah.
She's still petrified. You know, my husband, he's got autism and Ashley has too, but it's a different type. His is more pragmatic. He's like, well, you die. The worst thing is, this is absolutely true, Richard. When I was sitting in the hospital, because I get COVID and cancer the same day, And my husband, my daughter got COVID. We all got COVID, and I came home with this cancer diagnosis. And they totally, by the way, I was completely unaffected by COVID because I drank out of puddles as a child. They two middle-class fuckers were like, I'm no well, can I get a wee chopped egg and a cup? I was like, no, because I've got cancer. I'm like, but you're no affected, I'm still with the cancer. So when I was in the hospital ward waiting and the doctor coming to tell me what they saw in the scan was the longest 40 minutes of my life. And my husband, who, as you know, has got autism, when he gets nervous, he sings songs. And it's a very common trait in autistic people when they can't find words to go, you know, oh, do you love me, really love me? They just start to sing their emotions. So we're sitting there and I'm waiting. And just before the doctor got in the door, he went, and now the end is near. And I jumped up and I grabbed his mouth and I was like, shut the fuck up. Just as that, the doctor came in and I'm holding my husband's mouth. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, my husband's got autism and he sings creepy songs. Anyway, sit down and tell me my future. So it was very odd. Very odd.
Well, I didn't fancy cancer's chances against you, Janie. When you had cancer, I thought, there's no way cancer can beat.
Well, I'll tell you what, getting a hysterectomy, if you ever want to feel like a spatchcock chicken, there's your thing. My God, the scar goes from there all the way right up, and that was quite painful, yeah. Getting the hysterectomy. And everybody keeps on saying this shit, like, you're really brave. No, I'm not. I cried every step of the way. I cried the morning. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. My husband had to take me to the Royal Infirmary for this operation, and I stood in that. I'll never forget it. And I cried and said, please don't make me go, and I don't want to go. And literally, a nurse had to come and pull me off him and take me in to do the pre-med. So I was not brave. I was terrified. And it's that thing that if you're brave and strong... So does that mean the people who died of cancer were weak and stupid? No. I hate that narrative. I wasn't brave. I wasn't strong. I was absolutely fucking shitting myself. Every cannula they put in, I cried. Every blood test they took, I cried. Every chemotherapy session, the whole time. Not brave at all. No. Shut myself.
But you have to go through it, you know, because the alternative is to stop.
Yeah, there's no bravery. It's either do you want medication in your body or do you want to die? Me saying give me the medication to live is not brave. It's the obvious answer.
Yeah. And you weren't, and knowing you, and I know the answer to this, but you weren't tempted to go down alternative routes to... Oh,
my God. Ashley does my emails. She reads my emails for me. She filters them all. And this is my daughter reading my emails. And I know this is a podcast, so I'll be verbal as well. Fuck off with your witch hazel. No, that's not going to... Cranberry juice is not going to fucking cure this. The amount of people who emailed me with bogus snake oil shit people trying to monetize my cancer is terrifying. And Ashley just keeps writing back, fuck off, we're going for chemicals, to every single email. So it's awful. I mean, I suppose people can say you can do therapy hand in hand. I was so swamped in the rigors of chemotherapy. And I had no time to see if oil of primrose evening oil was going to take away my pain. I just dealt with pills the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, I had chemotherapy and I feel embarrassed to talk to you about it because mine went in for an hour and...
Go fuck yourself.
Had a very light... I'm not sure they even put anything in. It was so like I felt quite nauseous for a couple of days, Jamie.
That's a shame. 6 sessions of chemotherapy, yeah. 1 every 3 weeks. I was lucky. I never vomited, which is unusual because I'm a professional vomiter. And I was absolutely all the things I said to Ashley. Like, I'm going to vomit. I'm going to lose all my hair. I'm going to get mouth ulcers. My nails will fall off. She went, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm just ready for you to die now. I'm that bored with this. And turned out none of these things happened. I kind of got away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was tough going, but it was doable.
Yeah.
More my mental health was affected, and the exhaustion, fucking hell. I now know what it felt like to be a wee Glasgow woman with 9 children living up the top flat of a tenement. I now know how that felt. I always wondered how the wee woman with 9 children and 1 big pram and a steamy washing managed to go up and do 9 flights. Now I know how that feels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the exhaustion. So I was determined to get my physical strength back. Was one of the most important things is my mobility. So I'm up to walking 6 miles a day. I did it. I got through that, and I can now walk quite a bit.
Right.
And it's quite funny because last year, well, you're going to speak about this anyway. Last year, when you know those tweets were uncovered and people were like, "We want you to die," I'm like, "Guys, wait 6 weeks. It's coming." So. Yeah, it's been quite a year.
And it's interesting you mentioned the mental side, because I think the hardest thing, I didn't breeze through it. I'm not saying it was like it was easy, but it was. But using humour and positivity, mm-hmm. I found it quite easy to get through the experience.
Mm-hmm.
But like this year, when it's all gone, but then you're still just worried about it coming back, and you know the mental toll is hard.
Post
traumatic stuff, isn't
and
it?
And Monday tomorrow, I got a phone call to tell me what my bloods were like on Friday, and if my cancer number is up, it's going to be a worry, and I have to face that every Monday. And then I get a scan at the end of this month. But I've kind of reached the stage where I never got this until I was 60, Richard. There was young women in that chemotherapy ward in their 20s.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 60. I've lived a bit. I don't want to live till I'm 90. So if I get to, like, 70, I'll be like, fuck, I'm ready. Frank, get the door. I'm out here. So, you know, I've got that philosophy as well, that I have lived a lot. It's not like... I mean, I know I'm still young, as in sense, but getting to this age to get it is good if I'm going to get it. And the good news is we did the BRCA test and I don't pass it on to Ashley.
Great.
So that's good news as well.
And, you know, you've been through some stuff in your life, Jenny. So, like, you know, there's been...
This has been my first rodeo.
We've talked about many times. It has, you know, sometimes... I mean, the last time you were on was actually 2019. It feels much more recent with you and Ashley together. And sometimes you think, oh, you know, it's only been three years, not much will have happened. But a lot has happened to you in these 3 years.
Yes, definitely has. So, a lot of it my own doing.
So let's talk about the emails, because it's... the tweets. You kind of got involved in quite a lot of higher profile things, and things were going very well for you.
I think the main mistake is I broke my own rule. There was a few rules I broke, but the main one I broke was taking government money. Never take government money, because if you do, people will try and find out when you had your first period. And so I should never have been the face of that, because then that meant that, you know, there's a very small faction of tribal politics in Scotland, and because I support SNP, they've said I slagged my husband having autism. They said my husband was in the IRA, which he isn't, because my husband doesn't like a fabric on his face. And they'd made fake tweets as well. They did everything. So they were coming for me, and I always knew they were coming for me. You know, they were always going to... And, you know, the tweets were... I mean, I can't justify them. They were offensive. I was trying to slag off somebody that was annoying me on TV, but I shouldn't have used that word. And I was wrong. It was 2011. It doesn't make it right. And I apologised immediately.
Yeah.
You know, my agent and everybody's like, let's have a think about this. I was like, no, let's not have a think about it. I was fucking wrong. And I'm going to apologise immediately. And I'm not going to do it in a nice way. I'm going to do it with my face. I'm going to make a video so people can look at me as I say, I hurt people. I offended people. I am really, really sorry. And I hope to be, you know, it's not about perfection. It's about progression. And I've never been racist. I've spent my life fighting for Black Lives Matter. I've fought for the rights for immigrants to come here. I called Trump a cunt because he was a racist. And I've never been that. But those tweets are awful and they're offensive. And then there was the ones that weren't. You know, they pulled up one that me saying, Snoop Dogg, you know, he sells drugs. Well, what did you expect? And they're like, that's racist. And I'm like, no, he actually does. Why is that bad to say?
Yeah.
And, you know, ones like I had used a slur about myself, which is an old one, about disabled people 11 years ago, and a woman wrote to me and said, my two children, 6 and 7, are both disabled, and they found that offensive. I went, two things here. They were written 6 years before your children were born. And second thing, why are you reading that out to your kid?
Yeah.
You know, people looking to be offended. But I did apologise, you know, and I'll always apologise for it. And they're like, you're going to get cancelled. And you don't get cancelled. The only thing that got cancelled was the panto, which was really good HR, because I had cancer and couldn't have done it. Thank fuck they cancelled it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was a classy way to respond.
Absolutely.
Most comedians, if we went back through nearly every comedian's work.
I mean, there was gives context to a lot of them. But let's forget all the context. You know, the ones that I did say that were really hurtful. Looking at them, like, what the fuck was I writing that for? Uh-huh. Why would I write that? I can't remember what I said in 2011. I was commenting on the TV and it was really quick and it was really fast. Yeah. But I shouldn't have. But you have to, if you make a mistake, you have to apologise. I don't expect anybody to accept my apology. You don't have to. But what you can't do is tell other people not to accept the apology. And what you also have to remember is if people can't make mistakes and say sorry, then what kind of fucking society are we going to live in?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I turn around and a lot of them double down and go, well, it wasn't meant that way. No, it hurt people, so it was meant that way, and it was hurtful.
But also, if you know, are all those people confident if they went? I mean, you were saying to me, you could go and look at people's tweets who are complaining about you and see racism happening
Absolutely. I had lots of Scottish Unionists who, oh my God, they literally spaffed up a wall of excitement on this. And they were like, ah, that's our race. And then you look at their next tweet and they're like, well, people shouldn't be coming here because we don't have room for them. I'm like, for fuck's sake. So there is that hypocrisy as well.
Well, is that, but with all these things, it's never really about the issue, it's people. Find a way to get at someone.
No.
But it is sort of interesting that comedians, I mean, I think you're right. I don't think really anybody gets cancelled. You might lose a job, you might have an uncomfortable time. Often people who are cancelled come back a little bit stronger.
Yeah, afterwards. Well, I get cancelled, then I get cancer. It's like my life's one big Wordle game. I'm just cancel, cancer, dancer, danger, ranger. That'll upset the Rangers fans.
But it seems weird to me, and I think I was talking this about Veer Das yesterday, or maybe a comrade the day before, but it seems like comedians are held to a higher account
Absolutely.
Than politicians who are doing racist policies.
Yeah, I had lots of Tories. I mean, would you call them lots and lots of Scottish Tories got together and had a letter-writing campaign about me. I mean, weirdly, they do fuck all about anything else. But, you know, this was obviously a bunch of men, you know. You know right away, they're wearing red trousers, so genuinely not getting laid and they're awfully angry. And they're all at letter-writing and, oh, wait till Donald Trump hears about Janie Godley. I'm like, Donald Trump's fucking interested in me, do you know what I mean? But a lot of them were really, you know, angry about it and looking for reasons to be upset. And it's weird because they're like, oh, she should lose every job. You should never work again. You should never do anything. And the politicians, and I'm like, guys, Boris Johnson has said a million times worse than me. You know, the watermelon smiles and the pickaninny words and the, you know, the ladies who look like letterbox. But I mean, if you're angry at me, be angry at him. You know, let's do that. And of course, they're fucking historic racist policies. I mean, apparently I'm cancelled, but it's all right to send somebody to Rwanda.
Yeah.
Arseholes.
It's but because it's, if you know, it's true, but it's, and if you just, you know, if you front something out and they, without apologising, then sort of, it took Boris Johnson, I mean, Boris Johnson still is Prime Minister.
Jesus, I still can't get out that video of him dancing at a wedding. I just, I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I don't want to put MD down and I don't want to, but Jesus, Joni Maca fucking Ronnie, what was that? I was like, my husband's a shit dancer. My husband looks like Aunt Sally, you know, the big giant. And when he dances, and that's why we don't let him do that in public. But and of course we've got Rishi Sunak now saying that they're going to de-radicalise anybody that slags Britain. Well, that's a whole fucking lot. He's gone to the gulags, Richard. We're all gone together. We have to de-radicalise. If you say anything bad about Britain, Rishi's going to get you. And he's now saying we can't have any university courses that are just mainly vocational. You know, like the world, we've just to build computers and say Britain's great and rub our fannies up against a union flag. So, welcome to the future. Imagine having to choose between they two.
I know, it's...
It's like, what do you want, herpes or a urine infection? I'll just have both, thank you. Jesus.
Well, they'll both be in there. Although she's being pretty... I mean, I think Liz Truss is going to get it, right? And she's being...
She doesn't like him, does she?
She doesn't like him and he doesn't like her, so maybe they won't be in each other's cabinets. But
tell you what, watching the Tories eating the Tories has been such a fucking wonderful thing. Watching them all like, hi, better together and stronger. You're a bitch. I'm like, yeah. And of course, she comes out and says, Nicola Sturgeon is, I love that she said Nicola Sturgeon's an attention seeker. And Nicola Sturgeon did not reply. I fucking love that. I love that she just went, I'm going to ignore her, and she's an attention seeker. Nicola's like, I'm about to make porridge. See you later.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Well, and also, look, there's loads of things to talk about. I read your book, Nothing Left Unsaid.
Oh, did you read it?
Yeah, I did. Because I was going to have you on the... I do a book version of this podcast now. I was going to have you on that. And then I thought, no, well, I'm going to come to Scotland and I'm going to talk to you in person because there's so much to talk to you about. But it's a terrific book.
Oh, thank you.
And again, I think, you know, you are... I love your other book, The Handstands in the Dark, isn't it?
It was very dark.
Yeah, it was dark.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic book.
And thanks. It's my first foray into fiction.
Yeah.
Crime fiction.
Yeah.
Well, a bit of crime in it.
But there's a crime and there's, you know, we don't know what's happened and then we find out what's happened. We won't talk about that too much because we won't give it away. But it sort of takes place sort of now.
And in 1976.
And in the 70s. Yeah. But it's the research in the 70s, the memory of the 70s is very good. And what I like, again, is it's a different voice that in publishing you don't get
That's
many
That's right.
Authentic.
And interesting, you say, is everybody okay? interestingly, you mentioned the research because I had a great researcher, Caitlin Mellon. I'll tell you how I met her. I got the book deal from Hodders and Stoughton and I was in Glasgow and I went into a bar with my husband for a lunch with the wee dug in the pram, as we do, wee Honey Bunny, who, by the way, is insane. She looks dead cute, but she's fucking tries to kill everybody. And the lady serving us, she came over, and because I used to own a bar, I always say to young people who, you know, are you enjoying your work? What do you study? And this girl came over, this lady, she wasn't a girl, she's a young woman, and she was serving us, and I said to her, how are you doing? She went, fine. She was Irish, from Belfast. I says, what are you studying? She went, oh, I finished my studies, and I studied English. I says, what do you want to do now? Because I live in the West End, it's all students, and I just like chatting to them. And she went, I want to work in publishing, and I want to work writing books, but you know, barmaids don't write books. I went, I'm a barmaid and I wrote a book. And she went, really? I went, I've just got a book deal. Would you like a job being my researcher? She went, are you mental? I went, yeah, she's my researcher. And she did it, and she now works in publishing.
Terrific.
So not only the book about supporting women, the book actually supported a woman.
Yeah.
And she now works as a ghostwriter and an editor, and she dressed up in the 1970s every single time we got together. She did all the research on the facts, you know, like what was on Coronation Street that day, you know, what we were wearing, the Vesta curries, when crispy pancakes were launched, and she was brilliant. And Caitlin now works in publishing, so, did it.
It's good, and yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
But it feels like the, you know, the, I mean, it feels like a love letter to
very
to
much
the
so.
Women of Glasgow.
It's a wee love letter to my mammy. I think it's if my mammy had survived, because my mother was murdered, and if my mammy had survived and she had these strong women run about her, maybe she would have survived better. So I think it's psychologically, I didn't know that that's what I was writing, but when I looked at it now, it definitely was, you know, wishing Annie had survived.
Yeah.
But it is a good love letter to Glasgow, and one of the weirdest things is trying to explain what a close is in words.
Yeah.
Does everybody know what a close is? Tell me no if you don't know what a close is. Okay, a close is a main entry. You'll see them in Edinburgh now. You know, the door, and you go up, and then there's stairs, and then there's flats off each. That's the close. But trying to write that was like, fuck, do I write a close? And it was lovely. And remember in 1976, the hottest summer since the sun was invented.
Yeah.
And of course, Senga writes a diary. It's basically the daughter finds her mother's diary, and it's set in two time zones. But the diary is written in such a stream of consciousness. It's not your typical middle-class diary, like, pick some flowers today, you know, I'm going to Senga's wedding. No, it was like, woke up, smoked two fags, read a Jackie Collins book, let the dog out for a pish. The Waynes are away to school.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like that.
And I love the sort of authentic details that show that, you know, what you're talking about. I think, like, the bit I like was, I can't quite remember exactly, was you putting X-ray paper in the,
in the meter.
In the electricity meter.
Yeah, we used to do that. If nobody here's ever done that, we're about to face a fucking fuel crisis. What you need to do is pretend you broke your ankle, go to the hospital, get an X-ray, ask, can you keep the X-ray as a souvenir, cut it into strips, put it through, and it stops that wheel figging round. My mammy taught me that in 1973. Stops the wheel from moving, the X-ray paper touches the wheel. And
My podcast cannot condone such behaviour,
but no.
I'm going to leave it in. You do with what you want with that information.
What?
Bulb, yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. I've brought Bulb down. It's all thanks to me. The Bulb have been destroyed. They turn out to be not such nice men. I'll cut that bit out. my bulb money's just about to run out. It's just the wrong point for it just to run out. And it just, never mind.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I did this. When Bulb started up, they've just gone bust. But uh-huh. They started up, they give you £50 for everyone you get. And the person, they gave you £50 to everyone who signed up. And you got £50, and I got a lot of people to sign up for it, Janie.
Oh, cool!
I haven't paid for electricity for
Sounds
50 years,
like so that's pyramid that's scheme. That's,
so 5, you know, it's 5 years I haven't paid for any electricity or gas.
Fucking well done, you.
So that's the
X-ray paper is just so much easier.
It is.
We don't use that in our house, just so you know.
But sorry for everyone who joined Bob. I didn't know it would go wrong. I don't care. I do care. And over lockdown as well, I mean, we had lockdown as well, which we had to cope with, and you, again, I think both of us sort of went online and
yep.
Found things to do to get through
I did
lockdown.
Voiceovers of Nicola Sturgeon, because the daily briefings were so fucking boring. She was up there going, la, blah, 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 and then the journalists would ask such shitty questions. You know, she'd have a screen there, James Wilson from the Daily Mail, are people allowed to fly a kite? We're like, what? What the fucking question is that? And it was her face, she's like, she's dealing with a pandemic, the worst, unprecedented, no fucking map out of this. How do you cope? And you're like, is it true? Is it true that if two people stand in one, you're just fucking needs a spud gun just to shoot them? And that's a potato gun, so everybody calm down. So I decided to voice over. So every day I would read it, I would watch it, I would look at it, and I kept it incredibly factual so that people would get... So it got that people weren't watching the briefing, they were just watching my voiceover. So it'd be Nicola Sturgeon going, move. And she always gave all other people fake names.
Yeah.
You know, move, Alan. And his name's, you know, James. Move, Alan, your fucking toffee legs there. Move, you're working too slow. And then she'd get behind the podium and I'd say things like, today we found out that two people who are in a relationship can't meet and get a wee bit of chitty chitty bang bang, because that's done. You can't have sex, keep two Alsatians apart, a fucking clicky pen, and then she'd leave and go, I want a wee quiche and baked potato, Frank, get the door, and she'd off. And people were watching them because I was given the incredibly right rules. Upset the Scottish Unionists again. They were like, oh, she should die. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, just get her out. And people were so frightened as well. So I thought it would be funny.
Yeah.
And she thought it was funny as well. Everybody thought it was funny, except for a man who hates me, who's convinced my husband's in the IRA. And but yeah, I enjoyed doing it. I had such good fun, yeah. You know. Did hundreds of them.
And there was a book of that as well.
Yeah, there was a Luath Press in Edinburgh. They just took all the transcripts and made a book called Frank Get the Door. I mean, Honey the Dog's got two books coming out soon, one for adult, one for children. Okay. I wrote that. Because
right.
Why would I know do that? Pictures of honey and then wee explanations. So I've got one for adults with a lot of swearing in it and one for kids with a lot of, oh, look at Honey, sure, she's a nice dog today. Honey's happy, 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 Myra Hindley. Honey bullies Ashley when I'm not there.
Yeah.
Ashley wasn't allowed to put her feet up on the sofa yesterday because Honey was on her own with her. And Honey was like, Ashley's like, your fucking horrible wee dog wouldn't let me put my own feet in the sofa. And I was like, don't let her bully you. She took a picture of Honey and Honey was like this. I was like, she's such a dick.
And you're still doing lots of stuff. You're still doing the voiceovers, right?
I'm doing other voiceovers because the daily briefings have gone. I did one of Liz Truss. I did one of Rishi Sunak in that garden doing stand-up, doing dad jokes. I still do Boris. I still do, you know, animals, which I love. I love doing the wee animals, the wee bears and the wee otters and things. I give them a voice. So, yeah, I know. It's like, are you okay, Jenny? Yeah, I am. Wee otters speak. I really want an otter. But I know it's bad to want one and keep it in your house, but I really do. Honey looks like an otter. Sometimes pull Honey's ears back so she just looks like an otter. Wish I hadn't said that out loud.
And now you're doing live streams on your Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm doing a new thing, Twitter Spaces, which is good. Right, okay. Twitter Spaces is a new feature. It's basically the old Clubhouse that never worked, so Twitter Spaces. So I thought, let's have a look at Twitter Spaces and see what's there. Oh, my fucking God, there's nothing there for you, Richard. It's just tons of people talking about NFTs and cryptocurrency, which I don't understand whatsoever. So I decided to do my own about books and films and things that interest people. And people love it. And it's just hundreds of people going, NFTs, cryptocurrency, BQY and the WSY. I'm glad I don't even know what that is. Then Janie Godley, who wants to talk about books? And then back to that. So I've been doing these Twitter spaces. You should try it. It's really good. And you can bring people in as like a radio show and they can speak to you and ask questions and talk about their own favourite books and books that get made into films and yada, yada, yada. And I do the live stream every other night on the Facebook, which is I really love as well because I'm still connecting to people, you know, and there's a lot of support. I have to say that since I got the cancer and the cancellation, the outpouring of support has been unprecedented. I never knew that many people liked me, you know. It was really heartwarming. Everybody, I mean, so, and people send me stuff. I've got more hats than Hattie McHatt, and people send me such lovely stuff. So, yeah, I like doing the Facebook Live, and it's still connecting me, because I'm going on tour next year if I don't die.
Okay, good. And if you do die, you could still do a hologram.
Ashley says she's going to pump my corpse about, squeal me on stage and go, that's mama. Sorry about the smell, you know.
I mean, it's interesting you say that about, you know, with social media, I think it is very easy to, you know, the negative voices are often the most vociferous.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, you know, if you sort of block people on a specific issue, and I know you're very outspoken about what you believe, and that's trans rights, you're always promoting
absolutely
trans rights. And I know what that's like if you do that. But
I do it every single day. I put a trans flag up and say I support trans people. And I have blocked that many of the negative. They no longer can speak to me.
Exactly.
But I mean, I made the mistake as well in the whole Twitter furore. I spent 11 years arguing with people. I shouldn't have argued with them. It's like banging a toffee hammer off your fanny. It means nothing. I should have just fucking left them alone. So I got a therapist who says I have to stop arguing with people. And I did. now when people go, you're a cow and I hope you die, I go, I hope you have a lovely day. That's a nice hat you've got on in your picture. Which makes them mere angry, so I have to block them.
Yeah. But I think also that imperative to find someone and say why you're angry with them, it says more about you, you know. It says more about the person doing it than the person they're going to.
Yeah, and I support the trans people, and I think it's important that I support, you know, that is to me. And it's a big contention in the Scottish Government because people are getting that angry about self-ID and stuff. But this whole fucking thing about toilets, I'm 61. I have never been in a toilet where a man has dressed as a woman and tried to sexually assault me. It's never happened to me. I'm not saying it's never happened to anybody, but see if a man is going to dress up as a woman and shave his legs and wear a basque and wear high heels and put all the makeup on to have a look at my diddies. I'm going to let him. Because no man has made that much effort for me. It's not them that I'm worried about. It's the very young trans people who are seeing this hate online. And I'm really worried about them because what they must be seeing is a whole fucking tide of world against them. And they're the most vulnerable. And it worries me. It genuinely worries me.
Yeah. But I think the point coming out of what you were saying is that there's a silent majority or a lot of people who are supportive or like you and just following, and then it takes something like what you've been through for them to come out and go, oh, hey, you know, and then they... Because most people don't involve themselves.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong.
The vast majority of people are supportive, I think, of anyone who's reasonably decent.
Okay, the thing is, of course there is trans people who have sexually assaulted and people that are bad. So does that mean we ban all trans people? If so, we're going to ban all priests.
Yeah.
If so, we're going to ban all police. So is there a policeman that sexually assaulted a woman? Okay, let's ban all police. You can't take a small minority and say, well, that represents everybody. Of course it doesn't. In fact, this past year, Richard, there's been more straight, I don't know what the word is, for women who have killed their own children that's been in the news. So does that mean we ban mothers?
No.
You can't just take a small minority. You know, the trans people who are sexually aggressive aren't trans-aggressive people. They're just arseholes who need fucking dealt with. Just the same as priests that attack Wayne, just the same as police that attack Wayne, just the same as anybody. You can't just say, well, that represents them all.
Of course.
It doesn't, you know, so that I kind of get angry about that.
Well, and, you know, there's a group that are much more likely to sexually assault women than trans people.
Yeah, oh, fucking yes.
and
women still can't go walking at night and go running with their headphones in. We can't.
No.
When Ashley goes out, I mean, I live in the West End of Glasgow, and, you know, she's more likely to get attacked by somebody throwing couscous, but it's not the point. I still tell her, don't wear headphones, you know, don't do that.
Yeah.
In case somebody comes up behind her.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a trans man in a pair of fucking platform heels. Or a trans woman, you know, it's not going to be that.
Yeah.
And we get all the bits mixed up, and that's the thing about the whole trans debate, is we say things wrong, and I keep saying, guys, I keep getting it wrong, ladies, I keep getting it wrong, but I'll fight like fuck to defend you, but please accept my small mistakes when I say things wrong. And they're like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, but that's, I think a lot of people are worried about saying that, you know, because some people will get upset with you for saying the wrong thing, again, on Twitter usually.
Yeah.
And so I think most people are like, well, I won't, you know, I don't want to say anything, or if I'm going to get attacked, I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, but most people, it's just, you should be allowed to talk and debate.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm on the right side of history.
Yeah, I think you are. Let's ask an emergency question. Let's ask, because I've just been in the Museum of Scotland. There are some good things in the Museum of Scotland. There's some nice old medieval jewels and things like that in there as well. If all the art galleries and museums in the world got together, I don't think I've asked you this one before, and said, we love your stuff and everything you've done, we're going to give you one thing. You can have one thing from any museum or art gallery for your, and you can keep it. Is there anything you would like from all the world's art galleries and museums?
I think I would like the big elephant that was in Kelvin Grove Art Gallery that's got memories of being a child there. Who remembers going to the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and seeing the big elephant? Anybody? Yeah, that's what I want.
Was
I want
it a skeleton
big elephant.
Of an elephant? Or
no, I think it was
model.
A big elephant thing. Was it a skeleton?
Was it an actual elephant?
It looked like a big elephant that'd been taxidermied. Am I right?
A taxidermied elephant. You could probably get a real elephant.
And then I could actually say, every 5 minutes, let's address the elephant in the room. The elephant for Kelvin Grove is the answer.
Okay, good. I'm glad you've chosen that. If you could go into a chrysalis, like a caterpillar, and come out of that chrysalis as anything you wanted, and it could be anything, and it could be you still, or it could be something completely different, what would you come out of the chrysalis as?
George Clooney's jockstrap.
Good. this might be interesting. What toy did you always want for Christmas but never receive?
A chopper bike.
Is it a chopper?
Oh, I fucking really wanted a chopper bike. My mum's too poor. There was kids across the road had one, and I was insanely jealous of them. And I always wanted a chopper bike. And just last year, we went to this, because honey's got a wee pram, because she can only walk 2 mile, and we walk 6 mile. So she's got a wee pram to push all the rest, and we had to get the tyres pumped up. And the guy had a chopper bike outside, and I sat on it, and I said to my husband, please buy me this. He's like, no, you're not going to chopper bike.
Yeah.
You'll fall off it and die. I'm like,
and it would be a look, you on a chopper bike. A look that I would like to see, I have to say.
I really want a chopper bike.
You should only travel by chopper bike, but that's... Because a lot of the things, you know, are things that people, you can now buy, isn't it? I mean, you could buy something.
I could, but he's like, don't. There's nowhere to keep it. You're going to fall off it and bang into people. You're already spatially unaware, which I am. And I think I always wanted, the other thing that I always wanted was Katie Copycat. It was a doll that if you drew, she drew. It was just that kind of thing that you did like that, and she was copying you. Because I get quite a lot of lines at school, so she could have done them for me, you know. I will not be cheeky to Miss Handyside, the PE teacher. Who, by the way, spoke a lot with her eyes shut and irritated me.
Okay.
You know, the people that go, Janie Curry, if I... And I'm like that every time.
I'm glad we can settle that score a few decades on. Is she still with us? Do you know?
Don't know.
Yeah. Was she an older teacher or a younger teacher?
She was older. Okay. She was lovely. What a name, Miss Handyside. She was great. I loved her. She was fabulous, but she needed to speak more with her eyes open.
Yeah. There were a lot of teachers on the handy side, I thought, but there we go. Good to see. What do you think about the... I did see you talking about this online, about the James Whale saying the fringe has got two left wing.
As you said, what are we going to do? Bring Brexit the musical?
Yeah.
You know? Do you have a harpoon in your garage? Would you like to see the coast with Farage? It's fucking hell. When was the fringe right wing? And this is the thing, is that I get a lot of shit for Scottish unionists going like, oh, the left wing comics are all shite. Get a right wing comic. Go do the circuit. We'll support you. Come on, come up. Tell us. There's stories about shoving wains up chimneys and ha-ha, people can't get electricity. come on, bring your right-wing shite out. We're up for it.
Yeah.
But, and I support the freedom of speech. I would be quite happy to see a right-wing Scottish comedian. It's not my fault they don't fucking exist. And it's not that James Whale... when was the fringe ever not lefty? When was actors and performers... and comedians and writers and authors, when were they ever like, yeah, Rwanda's a good idea?
I guess they were. I guess that in the TV comedians, I think, but they're never going to come to the fringe. Like, you know, I think some of those 70s TV people, I imagine some of the multi-millionaire current TV people are secretly quite right-wing and not necessarily...
Yeah, maybe they are. Maybe they're like, oh, thank God we've got offshore banking. But... You know, again, it's not their fault. It's the tax laws. Change the laws. Don't ask people to be moral about their tax. Fucking tax, fix the tax laws, fix everything. But this whole right-wing thing is like, everybody, I get it every single week. Lefty comedians aren't funny. Well, you know, 3,000 people are coming to their shows in some events, so shut the fuck up. And secondly, where's your right-wing comic bring? I'd love to see a Tory comic. Oh, I know what we should do for the homeless. We should put them in Union Jack sleeping bags. And that would display Britain across the world. And you know the fucker would wear red trousers, don't you?
I suppose there are a few. I mean, they generally call them libertarians, call themselves libertarian, which is...
Yeah, of course they do, which is the Scottish word for cunt.
But there's a few. But you know, it is. I think you're right. I think the comedy community is very welcoming. I think that when there are more right wing comedians, it's not like people going, get out of here.
We're like, go for it. Yeah. You know, if somebody comes out here and goes, we hate Nicola Sturgeon and we hate her and she dresses funny and she can't dance, I'm not going to say, don't say that. I'm going to go say it more and see how the audience react. Yeah. Especially in Scotland. Fucking knock yourself out. Two men in red trousers up the back going, hoorah! Why do they always have red trousers? I think women say to their husband, I'm going to take you to John Lewis, I'm going to buy you a pair of red trousers because I don't want another woman to touch your woolly. I think women dress their men like that so they won't fuck about, do you know what I mean?
It could be. And what do you think is going to happen with Scottish independence, Jen? Do you think it's coming?
You know, before I was like, I supported independence and I was all for it. And then I was like, oh, fuck, this is just such a long slog. And now I see the absolute fucking skipfire that is Westminster. And I know that every time Liz Truss or Rishi opened their mouth, Scottish people who were no voters are like, you know what? Maybe it's time. So I think that the Tory government has done everything to support independence that they possibly can do by default. So I'm hoping it does, because this is such a fucking mess. This is just a mess. Other countries must be looking at us going, what the hell is going on there? And him, I never had parties. Well, I did have parties. Well, sorry about the parties. Well, I'm not sorry about that. Just fucking just go. And Nadine Dorries, I mean, honest to God, I know I talk shite, but I'm not a politician. The shite she talks and the way she looks at him like, you can see that he's, you know, like Boris is giving his bit in Parliament. And she's like, you are on the morning side of the mountain. She's just staring at him in a creepy, you know, that auntie that gets drunk at weddings and tries to touch people. That's what she's. It's just such a fucking mess. I mean, the SNP have got their problems as well. They need to clean up their act as well. Every political party, root out your fucking sexual predators, root out the people that are making people uncomfortable, get them out the party, get focused. I'm not saying the SNP is absolutely right in everything they do. There is a lot of problems with them as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're still no as crazy as that. Yeah. So we're trying to go for the least crazy is what people are doing now. They're not going for policies, they're just going for people that would help you if there was a house fire. If there was a house fire, I don't think Nadine Dorries would get me out.
Yeah.
Or Boris, you know. He'd point at the curtains and go, oh, flames!
It becomes difficult to think that anybody really decent would want to become a politician, but partly because I think, you know, the brand is so weird anyway, but also if you know that anything you might have said or done in the past will be brought, if you come up and try to confront just the corruption and all that sort of stuff, you know that the papers would dig up whatever truth or lie. And no, most normal people don't want to put themselves, you have to be sort of psychotic to want to.
Have you read Nadine Dorries' sex books?
I've seen bits.
Jesus, she's never been fucked in her life. That's not how sex works. It's like the Mills and Boone books, isn't it?
Yeah.
He came up behind her and stroked her back. Guy grabbed her duddies. I like to translate Mills and Boone. She felt a tingle in her stomach. Oh, goosh. His breath was hot. That fucker's been eating kebabs. I think there's a whole show on that, actually.
I think there is. Well, you know, you're always coming up with ideas. You've always got stuff, and you know, you're a I love how you're doing stuff online. You're doing books. Mm-hmm. You're doing stand up. So you're hoping to do another tour next
year. Yeah, we're going to do a tour next year. Ashley's going to come and support me if I'm still alive, and the tour's going to be called Not Dead Yet.
Yeah.
And we're going to go and try and do that. And I've got some more radio stuff coming up. And I want to write plays again. Like during lockdown, I wrote the plays alone for the National Theatre of Scotland. And they were very, very successful. They were just four shorts, 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Jack Loudon played my son. Wee McFadden played my son's boyfriend. And Lindsay Smith played my sister. And Honey was in the videos as well. And they were hugely successful. So I want to do more. And it wasn't funny. It was quite bleak.
Yeah.
So I want to do more of that as well.
Good. It's good. And are you going to write? I've written a book about having cancer. It's called Can I Have My Ball Back? Look, there's a copy.
That's fabulous, Richard. I should write one saying, Can I Have My Giblets Back? Or one saying, I had to look up my fanny and I could see my lung.
You should write a book, though.
My agent said to me, you should write a book about cancer and stuff. But I don't want to. I kind of, as soon as the chemotherapy was over, I threw all the hospital letters out, because as soon as you get cancer, they give you books and like, now you have cancer. And I'm like, right, that's getting flung out as soon as I leave the hospital. I don't want to read about it because I don't want to. It's just my personal opinion. Sure. So my husband threw everything out for me and we just threw it all away. And now I'm just on these PARP inhibitors, which are these new tablets that if you ever gave money to cancer research, this is what they come up with. And these PARP inhibitors stop the cancer from help to stop the cancer for return. There's every chance it's going to come back. But the good news is I did the BRCA test and Ashley doesn't have it. You know, it's not genetic. So I just have to wait for the next round of fuck you, Janie, and see how that fight goes.
Yeah. But the good thing as well is that once you've been through something like
this... Let me see your book.
You can have a copy if you want. I don't know if you want to read about
something.
No, I don't
want to read about it. Why is it just white in the back?
Because that's just a test.
Oh, is that just a test copy? Okay.
Yeah, it's out in October, so it's just...
Fabulous, Richard. Yeah. Good for you. Sometimes writing about it all can, you know, it can definitely kind of cleanse it out of you in a sense and address all the bits that fucked you up. Yeah.
I think so. I think it fucked me up more because it made me think about it so much that I think I hadn't thought about it.
Did you think about what songs they would play at your funeral?
I did. I started imagining who my wife would be married to and who would be drinking my whiskey and stuff like that. That's what I was...
Ashley and I have got a brilliant joke from our funeral. It's, you know how they have the flowers on the side of the coffin?
Yeah.
It's got to be # cancelled. And flowers, and then the other side # cunt. And we've picked all the songs as well.
Yeah, gone.
No, you'll need to wait.
No, seriously.
And Ashley says that when I die and at the funeral, you know how you have that wee pamphlet? They're going to have like 50% off Eusebi's Cafe. There's going to be vouchers on it. It's going to be sponsored by local businesses. You know, it's a shame Janie's dead, but you can get 20% off beer and the Bull Great Western Road. It's a shame Janie's dead, but there's 50% discount every second Sunday at Eusebi's for some pasta, 2-for-1 pizzas. I'm going to get them on it, she said. So, she's got it all planned.
You know, a comedian's funeral is a wonderful thing, and it can be a brilliant... I hope that yours... I mean, I reckon you'll be coming to mine rather than me coming to yours.
I'm looking forward to having a really good, loud funeral.
Yeah.
And I headline it. I'm going to be doing a bit on it. Nib fuckers headlining over me at my funeral. There's going to be a video and I'm going to be like 20 minutes of shite comedy just to make everybody suffer. My worst ever jokes. Like, here's another one. People are like, fuck, I'm glad she's dead, you know.
I think you're going to go on forever. They keep on. The good thing is they'll keep testing you and they'll be ahead of the curve. So it's...
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow I get the phone call about the bloods they took on Friday. Yeah. And if my cancer number's up, it's going to be quite difficult being on my own here dealing with that. But I have to face it. And then I've got the scan at the end of the month. And then they test me every month and they keep on top of it. But my cancer specialist says, you know, there's a lot of people survive it more than die with it. So fuck it. Let me worry about it, not you.
Yeah.
And I've had great... I mean, every single cancer specialist, that every single one's been really good. They've told me the honest truth about everything. So...
Yeah. Yeah.
They've always been like, and the worst thing is people keep saying, you know, you've got cancer, but you know, I could get hit by a bus. I don't know anybody that's been hit by a bus. It's like, honestly, stop fucking saying you might die to take the dairy off of me, might die, and isn't it helpful?
And also, you might get hit by a bus, Jamie.
Absolutely.
You've got as much chance of being hit, so you've got cancer and you could be hit by a bus. It's
absolutely.
It's worse. Made it a lot worse.
I'm loving my hair like this. Used to take me an hour to get out the house. Now I'm like, shower like that, and it's great. People have said weird things to me, like, oh, we saw you on TV, you should wear a wig. I'm like, you should shut your fucking mouth. Why do you have an opinion on? And I think it's important to photograph myself as well, because there's other people going through this, and they are pressured to wear wigs and look different. And I'm happy to go, fuck it, this is how I look. I survived cancer, I survived child abuse, I survived my mommy being murdered, I survived being cancelled, I survived cancer. Fucking let me wear my hair the way I want, okay? Yeah.
And you know, I think it's good. I think what's good and what I felt about cancer before I had cancer, you know, I didn't think I'd ever get cancer. No one's had it in my family, and you know, make those assumptions, and you sort of think, oh, the minute someone gets cancer, that's it.
They're dead. Yeah.
And it increasingly, you know, it might happen, but increasingly that isn't the case. So it's great to people to see that you're out and you're up and you're back.
Yeah. I'm walking 6 mile a day. I'm physically fit again. And I'm still arguing with people, and I'm still. I did a show for Radio 4 while I was in chemotherapy,
yeah.
And I did it, and it became comedy of the week. So I can, you know, still got it.
Yeah.
So, fuck it.
Nothing. Well, nothing's going to stop you, Janie. And if you do die, I'm convinced you'll.
You must come to the funeral.
I will come to the funeral.
You can read a bit of your book out at the funeral.
I'll have a table selling them at the...
Ashley has said that there will be merch at the funeral.
Yeah, good. Got to make the most of it. Are you going to see shows in Edinburgh? Is there anything you've seen yet?
I'm going to see John Lloyd after this.
Oh, great, yeah, of course,
in the
John.
New Town Theatre. I haven't really seen much. I'm kind of... Last night I got a bit tired and I had to go home and I couldn't get a taxi, so I got on a bus and I created my new show on the bus. Of course I did.
Yeah.
And so I got a bus here as well because I'm just living out at Fountainbridge and I'm walking a lot, but it was a bit cold. So I don't know if I'm going to go and see much. I've been seeing all my comedy friends, but what's weird is a lot of them don't recognise me because of the glasses and the hair.
Yeah.
And it's really weird how people speak to you. And I was like, hey there. And they're like, oh, hello, because comedians are used to people saying hello. They're like, hello. I went, it's fucking me, Janie. And they're like, oh my God, Janie. Or the ones that go, oh. You make that owl noise.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm like, you can quit that fucking right now. How are you? I went, died. She died. Janie died. That's how I am. She died. I'm just her corpse walking about.
We're never going to get rid of you, Janie. I can tell you that. I absolutely know it, and we wouldn't want to. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you a massive round of applause. The incredible Janie Godley. Thank you so much. We're here all week. Come and see us till next Sunday. We've got Flo and Joan tomorrow. Thank you very much. See you. Goodbye.
You have been listening to The Hullerstopper from the Edinburgh Fringe with me, Richard Herring, and my fantastic guest, who I know you know who it was. I'm not going to tell you again. You're not stupid. Thank you to Scant Regard for playing this music. I'm indebted to my technician and friend, Rhys Thomas. I'm also indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and to all the fantastic crew at the ballroom, at the assembly rooms, and everyone at the assembly rooms in Edinburgh. What a fantastic lot of people you are. Thanks for all your help. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And
would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.